Hello friends, I am Soumendra Naik and I bring before you the next session on rural dynamics that is all about the social sector development in rural areas. When we talk about rural areas, we mainly have to think about the various social sectors that fall under it. For example, the first sector is about the education part, the next is the healthcare and medical, and the third is about the housing, the drinking water facilities, the sanitation part of it. And the next is about the social security, that all play a very vital contribution in the overall human development. Human development is a very important topic, which has been very well explained under the UNDP scheme of Human Development Index. This index measures the key dimension of human development, such as the education, health and living standards. It is a composite index of life expectancy, the education and the per capita income, which is normally measured in terms of GNI. India has moved one spot up in the HDI scale from 130 to 129 in the recent index, and this is with a value of 0.64. According to the latest ranking of all the 189 countries across the globe, Human Development Index, this scale was developed by our very own economist, Dr. Amartya Sen, and another Pakistani counterpart of him, and they together planned this scale, where actually they have measured the entire index not just on the income parameters but also on the education and the overall life expectancy. Among the other South Asian countries, Sri Lanka ranked 76 with the HDI index value of 0.77, whereas Maldives stood at 101 position with the HDI value of 0.717. They both were quite ahead of India in terms of Human Development Index. In India, the Human Development Index is 0.64, which has put the country in the medium human development categories out of the four categories. According to UNDP, between 1990 and 2017, India's HDI value has increased from 0.427 to 0.64, which is an increase of almost 50%. India has got its own advantage of being one of the youngest country in the world, with its population which is mainly ranging between 15 to 59 age group, and 60% of the population falls under this category. So this has a great opportunity to convert the populace into effective human capital by providing access to required education, healthcare and better living conditions. Investment in human capital, innovation and knowledge will lead to the economic growth and development, which will further lead to the development of social sector, and this ultimately will lead to the human development, and this will sustain the overall economic development. So now friends, we are going to talk about a very important pillar among all those three pillars of Human Development Index. That's the education part or the knowledge imparting part. So when we talk about education, everybody in our country has a right from the age group of 6 to 14 that we should be given free and fundamental compulsory education. That's one of the fundamental rights of the citizens of India. So education is always the starting point for the development of any country. Development of education not only enhances the skills for employability, but also provides awareness of healthy and better way of living. There is a very definite positive influence of education, particularly of female education, on the health and other social indicators in case of rural economy. So states with higher female literacy have always proven to be in a better position in terms of levels of health indicators and better access to drinking water and sanitation facilities in the rural areas. States with low female literacy have encountered n number of problems, and these problems start right from high maternal mortality rate, high infant mortality, higher under 5 year mortality and high birth rate, as well as very low access to drinking water and sanitation facilities, which are the basic needs of any population. And this is as per the results of the census from 2011. Current status of education development. If we talk about it, the following table will very clearly show the position where we are today and where are we progressing in the next decade. The next table from the year of census 2011 is going to reveal a lot of facts about the literacy levels in India. If we talk about the All India average literacy rate, it's about 74%. But when it comes to the rural literacy, the percentage dips further and it goes to 67.8%. When it comes to the rural female population who are literate, the percentage dips further and it goes till 57.9%. So here there is a very wide gap in the male-female literacy rate in the rural masses, and this literacy gap is about 16.7%. When it comes to the urban-rural divide in terms of literacy, again there is a big wide gap which is about 16.3%. But there are various states which are on a various scale parameters in terms of literacy. If we talk about some very progressive states in terms of literacy like Kerala, the overall literacy rate is about 94%. Here the rural literacy is even just below the urban literacy, and there is not much of a wide gap, and the rural literacy is about 93%, whereas the female are also at a very good percentage and they are about 91% of the total literacy rate. So the male-female gap in case of a state like Kerala is quite low in terms of literacy, and it is just about 4%. When it comes to the urban-rural divide in case of Kerala, again the literacy gap is very less and it is still at a lower rate of 2.1%. But there are states which are of concerns, particularly the bigger states like Maharashtra. We talk about a male-female gap in terms of literacy which is about 12.5%. When again we talk about the urban-rural divide in terms of literacy rate in a state like Maharashtra, it comes to 11.7%. These are quite huge. Similarly, we have other states which are also a matter of concern. For example, in Uttarakhand, the male-female gap in terms of literacy rate is about 17.4%, which is quite alarming. Similarly, the urban-rural gap is also 8.2%. But in case of states like Nagaland, where the overall literacy is about 79.6%, here again there is a big gap in terms of rural and urban literacy rate. Here the literacy rate gap in case of urban and rural masses is about 14.3%. When we talk about a state like Tamil Nadu, where the literacy rate is more than 80%, but there is still a gap in the rural and the urban masses in terms of literacy, and the gap is about 13.5%. Similarly, we have other states like Mizoram, where there is a big gap of 13.5% again in case of urban and rural divide in terms of literacy. When we talk about few other states where the literacy rate is still lower, for example, a state like Assam, where the literacy rate is about 72.2%, here the rural literacy rate is about 69.3%, and the urban and rural gap is still bigger. It has such a wide range as almost 20%. Here the male-female gap is also big, and they have about 11.5% as a gap between the male and the female literacy rate. When we talk about some other states of central India, for example, the states of Madhya Pradesh, here the literacy rate overall is about 69.3%, but the gap is quite big in case of male and female literacy, where it is about 19.5%. Again, the urban and rural divide is about 19%. So these states are of concern, and we have to focus more on these states for developing the literacy rate. When we talk about still other geographies in eastern part of India, like Jharkhand, where the literacy rate is still lower, about 66.4%. Here we have a male-female gap which exceeds more than 20%. It has gone up till 21.4%. Again, the rural-urban divide in case of Jharkhand, among the literacy rate, if we see, it's also 21.2%, which is quite high. When we talk about a state like Rajasthan, which is on the northwest of India, we have an overall literacy rate of 66.1%, out of which the rural population has a literacy rate of about 61% only, And the female rural population is quite alarming. The literacy rate is quite alarming here because it is just 45.8%, even below 50% of only below 50% of people are literate among the rural women of Rajasthan. When we talk about the male-female literacy difference, it is quite big, almost ranging beyond 27.1%. The urban-rural gap in case of Rajasthan in the literacy rate is also very big. It is 18.3%. When we talk about a state in the northeast, like Arunachal Pradesh, here the literacy rate is still lower. The overall literacy rate is about 65.4%. In the rural masses, it is still lower, about 59.9%. Rural female are having a still lower literacy rate, which is about 52%, and the urban rural the male female gap in case of literacy in a state like Arunachal Pradesh is about 14.9%, whereas the urban rural divide is about 23%. When we talk about a state like Bihar, the literacy rate is still lower at about 61.8%, whereas the rural masses are only 59.8% literate. Here, the female literacy percentage is even below 50%, about 49%. The male-female education level has a wide difference, about 19.7%, whereas the urban-rural gap is about 17.1%. So some states are quite ahead of other states in terms of literacy, in terms of the overall literacy of the rural masses, in terms of literacy of the male and female population, both almost equaling, whereas few other states, the literacy ratio is quite alarming. So these are the major areas of concern that we need to focus on. Now coming to the enrollment level, if we talk about students in the rural area, so there has been continuously two consecutive years where the enrollment level in rural area for the primary classes has been more than 96%. So here, if we talk about the overall literacy rate in case of primary schools and then going further up in case of upper primary from class 6 to 8, in case of secondary school, which is about class 9 and 10, and then the senior secondary about 11 and 12 classes, still we go up about higher education, we have a increasing rate of dropouts from the colleges. So whereas almost 99% people get admitted to primary schools in the class range of 1 to 5, the upper primary schools has an overall percentage of enrollment about 87%. When we still go up in class about the secondary school, we have about 73%, which drastically drops down to about 49%, that is below 50% average rate of enrollment in case of senior secondary school, which is class 11 and 12. This ratio, when we go to colleges, the higher education, we have a drastic reduction in case of enrollment, which comes down to just 21.1%. When we talk about girls are still at a lower rate, which is about 19.8%, that is below 20%, which is still alarming. When we talk about the boys, the rate is about 22.3%. But this ratio definitely reveals some facts. They reveal that in spite of having 40,000 plus colleges in India, and in spite of having 900 plus universities in India, where the government is paying so much attention, and we have a free fundamental right of education from the age group of 6 to 14, still there are a lot of dropouts which is happening due to various reasons. And to check this, we have to focus so much on this education parameter. The dropout rates have increased significantly with increasing level of education, which is a matter of great concern. The dropout rate was around 20% till primary level, but increased to more than 50% at class 10. It may lead to low level of education as well as quality of education, where many people are dropping out midway. So when we talk about the infrastructure and the facilities available at the rural India in terms of education, we have a pupil to teacher ratio which stood at 28:1 for primary level, which has come to 30 is to 1 at the upper primary, and again back to 28 is to 1 for the secondary schools. However, there are examples in which there was one teacher who teaches across all the grades or all the classes in a particular school. There are also various cases where actually the ratio of the student teacher is about 60 is to 1. In the states such as Bihar, Jharkhand, UP and other few other states, there is a lot of vacancy, almost like 25% positions remaining vacant in the public sector education, and the pupil to teacher ratio remained quite high. There is a need to enhance the capabilities to meet a sufficient number of trained teachers to meet the requirement of schools. Even we have schools where the teacher ratios are optimum and we have less number of vacancies, but still we have to work more on the quality aspect, upgrading the skills of those teachers. There is also a need to improve the rural school infrastructure with the use of information and communication technology, normally called as ICT, in improving the process of education. Efforts have been increased to achieve the target of education under Sustainable Development Goals, popularly known as SDGs. Some of the Sustainable Development Goals which are to be achieved by 2030 are like ensuring that all girls and boys complete free, equitable and quality primary as well as secondary education, leading to relevant and effective learning outcomes. They have to ensure that all girls and boys have access to quality early childhood development, care and pre-primary education so that they are ready for the primary education. When we come to institutional support, the government spending on education has gone up from just a mere 3.8% in the year 2014 to about 4.6%. Educational infrastructure too is being expanded and reformed at various stages. It is the government's priority that 6% of GDP should be allocated to education. If we talk about the current budget, the government has a budget allocation of 99,100 crore for education itself. We are also going to talk about another campaign which is popularly known as the Skill India campaign. This campaign aims at training more than 40 crore people in India with different skills by the year 2022. This campaign includes various initiatives under the umbrella of government, where actually they talk about the National Skill Development Mission, National Policy for Skill Development and Entrepreneurship 2015. It also talks about the Pradhan Mantri Kaushal Vikas Yojana, popularly known as PMKVY, and the Skill Loan Scheme. The next pillar that we are talking about in the Human Development Index is the health and medical, which actually enhances the life expectancy. The longevity of life will depend upon this parameter. When we talk about health and medical care, the healthcare development has to be a comprehensive development. It has to cover improving the health status, the readiness to deal with medical emergencies arising from natural calamities, from accidental causes, from preventive care towards conventional medical problems. When we define the crude birth rate as per the OECD, the crude birth rate or CBR is equal to the number of live births in a year divided by the total mid-year population with the ratio multiplied by 1000 to arrive at the number of births per 1000 people. CBR has slowed down from 38.9% during 1970 to 19.01% in the rural areas during 2016. India's birth rate during 2017 was about 19. The next parameter that we talk about is the total fertility rate. This total fertility rate is equal to the number of children who would be born per woman or per 1000 women if she has to pass through the childbearing years or of bearing children according to a current schedule of age-specific fertility rates. The total fertility rate has more than halved in the rural areas, where it has fallen from 5.4 to 2.33 in the year 2016. When we talk about the life expectancy at birth, so in rural areas, it has increased to 66 years in 2013 from 48 years in 2070. It is 69 for women and 66.4 for men in rural areas in the year 2016. India's life expectancy overall at birth during the year 2017 was about 68.8%. Now we are going to talk about another parameter of measuring the life expectancy and overall health and medical care, that's the crude death rate. The crude death rate is the number of deaths occurring among the population of a given geographical area during a given year per 1,000 mid-year total population of the given geographical area during the same year. It has declined from 17.3 in 1970 to 7.5, which is a drastic reduction in the year 2013. India's crude death rate during 2017 was about 7.33. This overall indicates a very positive aspect of the life expectancy, which is overall enhancing the life longevity in India. So we are going to talk about another important parameter in the healthcare and medical care, that is the maternal mortality rate. So maternal mortality rate, it refers to the deaths due to complications from pregnancy or during the childbirth. It has declined over the years from 1980s when it was as high as 650 to the recent times in 2017 where we have achieved a number of 112. But there are states where it is still a matter of concern. There are states like Assam where the maternal mortality rate is quite high. It is almost double the rate of average India. So here we have to take a lot of focus in reducing the maternal mortality rate. The Millennium Development Goal, which defined the maternity rate and fixed a target of 109 by the year 2015, we also missed this target, but we are on a very progressive path towards achieving our goal in the coming years. When we talk about the infant mortality rate, the infant mortality rate is the number of deaths per 1,000 live births of children under 1 year of age after birth. In rural areas, it has come down from 136 in the year 1970 to about just 44 in the year 2013. But still, we have to go a long way. There are states of concern like Madhya Pradesh, where the infant mortality rate is quite high and it is much more than the Indian average. India's infant mortality rate during 2017 has further drastically reduced to about 32, and the Millennium Target Goal, which defined a target of 27 to be achieved by 2015, we also missed it, but again still we can say that we are on the right track and we are very close to that number. There are several other concerns when we talk about the health and medical care. When we talk about the rural masses, there are concerns of infrastructure which remains below the norms and the standardized ones. There are concerns about the manpower shortfall. We have a lot of vacancies which are unfulfilled. Then there are also concerns around the public expenditure on healthcare in India, which has been dismal. When we talk about the immediate requirement for institutional support, in order to meet the desirable density of various trained healthcare professionals, through increasing the number of trained personnel, there is an additional requirement of about 240 colleges for physicians, about 500 colleges for the nurses, and about 970 colleges for auxiliary nurse or midwives, who mainly cater to these rural markets. Now we are going to talk about another flagship program of Government of India. This program is about the National Rural Health Mission. When we call it as NRHM, So it is launched to provide accessible, affordable, as well as quality healthcare to the rural masses, especially to the vulnerable groups. Efforts were made to narrow the wide gap between urban and rural health indicators. The National Rural Health Mission, it has few major initiatives. The major initiatives include accredited social health activists, popularly we term them as ASHA in a village area, and they are denoted by the name ASHA. The Patient Welfare Committee, this is another initiative. The third initiative is the United Grants to Sub-Centers. We also have the Village Health Sanitation and Nutrition Committee. Then we have the Janani Suraksha Yojana, especially about the mothers. And we have the Janani Sishu Suraksha Karyakram. Then we have the Mother and Child Tracking System. We also have the Rashtriya Bal Swasthya Karyakram and the Free Drugs and Free Diagnostic Service, which is of much need, especially in the rural areas. Now we are going to talk about another flagship program of Government of India, which has recently been launched, and this is about the Ayushman Bharat Yojana or Pradhan Mantri Jan Arogya Yojana, also known as PMJAY or National Health Protection Scheme. This is a centrally sponsored scheme launched in the year 2018, very recently, and under the Ayushman Bharat Mission in India. The scheme aims at making the interventions in primary, secondary, as well as tertiary healthcare systems. The Ayushman Bharat Yojana, it covers both preventive and promotive health to address the healthcare holistically. It is an umbrella of two major health initiatives, namely the health and wellness centers and the National Health Protection Schemes, known as NHPS.